for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. I'm going to serve the Lord. Can I get a witness? For the rest of my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. Father God, you've been good to me. Better than I've been to myself. So now, Lord, as we come to this time of sharing your word, let your word go deep down in our heart, minds, and souls. When I open my mouth, Lord, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong through your word. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So come on, Jesus. Help us to understand what you're speaking to us today. That it will change us for the better on this consecration Sunday. That it will lift us to where we belong. That we'll be better on tomorrow, better than today. So we thank you, God, for all things in advance. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Cleanse us and wash us and make us whiter than snow on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. Amen. Can church say amen? Say it again. Amen. 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 I have a scripture that I'm going to read. Just this one scripture. It's from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Out of the NIV version of the Bible. And then I'm just going to go to the King James version of the Bible. Amen. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasant, and perfect will. Amen. Now I'm going to give you the King James version. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Christ, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to put in your hearing just this word. What God wants. Look at somebody and ask them, what God wants. We always talk about what we want. Question today is, what do God want? Hello, somebody. What God wants. Today is Consecration Sunday. And looking at what's happening in our world today, as this coronavirus, this COVID-19, as they termed it now, has been spreading all around this country and continue to spread around this world. And now they're talking about reopening up the country. In other words, letting people go back to work. In other words, opening up retail stores. In other words, starting to phase in the things that we used to do. But I got a feeling in my spirit there's some things we used to do on the other side of COVID-19 that when we come out of this thing, we ain't going to be doing no more. Can I get a witness? Amen. And as this country start to talk about, as President Trump and Governor DeWine talk about opening up the country and letting us go back to some sense of normalcy, go back into our offices, this is a great time to take a pause and say, you know what? I need to turn myself over to the Lord. I need to get anointed by the Lord. I need to be covered by the blood. Because when I leave my house, I've been isolated. I've been secluded. I've been in my house over these past 4 to 6 weeks. I've been in my house, haven't had to worry about too many people. But now when the country, I better get covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I better be anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost so that God can keep me from danger seen and unseen, that he can keep this thing off of me. You better anoint yourself. Well, listen. I told you to anoint the doorpost of your home. Hello. But I'm telling you, you better anoint yourself. They say that the eyes is the windows to the soul. That's how stuff get in. But what you better take some of that oil and put it right over your eyebrows. Put it around your nose. Cover it around your face. Because they say that's how I get in. So cover it and cover it up so the death angel will pass you by. Somebody accidentally cough on you, sneeze on you. They tell you wear masks. Wear your mask now. Wear your mask. You better wear the anointing. Today is Consecration Sunday. And what a time such as today that God has called us to consecrate ourselves. Who would have known that this time in May would be the time that they would be trying to open the country back up, and God put it in our spirit way back in January that today would be the day that we consecrate ourselves back to him. Amen. Consecration is the act of setting apart or dedicating oneself to God. Consecration is our giving ourselves to the Lord to become a living sacrifice. Consecration means the separation of oneself from things that are unclean, especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with a perfect God. Anything that's keeping you from God, you need to get rid of it. Look at somebody and tell them, get rid of it. Yeah. Consecration also carries the connotation of sanctification, holiness, or purity. It is the total dedication of all you are and all you have and all you will become to God without holding anything back. That's letting God in every room of your spiritual house. In the Old Testament, a sacrifice was something set apart for God by being put on the altar. When people offer that thing to God, it no longer belongs to the one offering it. It belongs to God for his use and for his satisfaction. Today, when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we become a living sacrifice. We give up our own claim on ourselves and put ourselves completely in God's hands. Previously, our lives was for the use and for the satisfaction of ourselves. But after today, we're saying, Lord, I rededicate my life back to you. And now use me for your good and for your glory. When we present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, we're simply saying, Lord Jesus, I am for you. I'm no longer for myself. I'm no longer for the world or anything else. I am for you, for your use, and for your satisfaction. Use me, Lord, however you see fit to use me. Can we say, use me, Lord? Now we need to ask, how? How important? How important is it for us to present ourselves to the Lord? Does it really matter if we do or don't? God has always been calling man to consecration. He called Moses. He called Joshua. Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the people, said, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, he was telling them, get yourself ready, because God is getting ready to work some miracles. I'm here to let you know, church, get ready, because I think May 4th, a lot of stuff is supposed to start opening back up. I believe God is about to show us some miracles. They're opening up the country slowly to see what the effect's going to be. But I believe God is about to lay his hand down on some stuff. God is about to intervene in the midst of it. God is about to do some work. That's why we're consecrating ourselves today. As God told Joshua, tell the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Jesus called his disciples, go into all the world and be my disciples. Jesus called the disciples, Paul called all the believers. And guess what, church? God is still calling us today to a life of consecration. In our text today, Paul is telling the church in Rome, I urge you, I plead with you, I encourage you, I beg you, in the view of the mercies of God. In the view and mercies of God. That roused me up to a question. Why? Why would I give God what he wants? Why would I do that? Well, until we understand why, the what and how don't really matter. Some of us want, why should I? Why should I turn my life over? Why should I rededicate myself? Why should I do that? And until we understand why, what and how don't matter. Hello, somebody. Hello. There are many sides of God's mercy in our lives. And mercies is a plural word, meaning more than one. Can I get a witness? How many of y'all have received the mercies of God more than one time? So when you talk about the mercies of God, you don't say the mercy of God. You say the mercies. Come on now. You say the mercies of God. Some of us know if we look back over our life, all we can do is look back and say, mercy, mercy, mercy. God showed me mercy. What is mercy? You not receiving what you deserve. Can I get a witness? You deserve punishment, but God showed some mercy. Psalm 51 and 1 talks about his tender mercies. Psalms 89 and 1 talks about, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Psalms 106:45, multitudes of his mercies. Isaiah 54 and 7, great mercies. Isaiah 55 and 3, sure mercies. And all those mercies got an S on them. Mercies, 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 mercies. We got to understand, it is only because of God's mercy that you and I are breathing, moving, thinking, worshiping right now. He has bestowed on us many, 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 many mercies. Waking you up this morning was a mercy from God. And listen, even if one of his temporary, physical, or earthly mercies were to suddenly disappear out of our life so that all we had was the salvation of God, that would still be a lot of mercy. How do you measure mercy? Like the mercy God shows to us. How high does it go? How far will it reach? Well, I'm here to let you know, church, it is infinite. Yes, it goes forever. Psalms 103, 11 and 12 says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's infinite. You can't escape his mercy. Hello, even when you think you're being good enough, God is still showing mercy on your life. Can I get a witness? But there's an easier way to measure God's mercy, because there's a point where those two immeasurable measurements meet. Where does the mercies of God meet? Am I deserving his mercy meet? It meets at the cross. God measures his mercy with the cross. Can I get a witness? It was the cross which helped God to give us more and more mercy. So in view of this, Paul is saying, in view of this, because of this, by the mercies of God, that's why we should be a living sacrifice. Because of the mercies of God. Look at somebody and tell them, because of the mercy. That's why. So what should prompt our consecration? It's mercy. Mercy received in salvation is the source of our response in consecration. Don't serve God because of his judgment. Serve him because of his mercy. Can I get a witness? I'm not scared of hell. I'm just thrilled about heaven. Can I get a witness? Because I ain't going to hell. Hello, hello. Old folks, just, I done died one time. Ain't gonna die no more. I ain't scared of hell. I'm just happy about where I'm going. It's like when you was little and your parents promised to take you to King's Island. You couldn't wait. You couldn't wait till that day come. You couldn't wait. You had so much excitement. You start counting it down. You can't wait. I'm excited about heaven. So this life I'm living, this sacrifice that I give, is because of the heaven that is to come. God said, the Bible said that Jesus looked past the cross to the glory that was to come. We got to look past. This world is not our home. Can I say it again this week? I'm just passing by. I'm excited about what God has. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That in my Father's house, every day going to be Sunday. Hallelujah. Once we understand why we would consider giving God what he wants, here's what God wants from us. Well, what do he want? Present your body, not just your spirit, for an hour on Sunday. Not just your shout time doing praise and worship. Present your bodies, but your everyday life, your body, every minute you live, are you giving it back to God? Are you laying it at the altar for him? This is the act of consecration. When I'm conscious about what I do, where I go, what I say. And all, one of the doctors said, one of the best things we can do to keep from catching the coronavirus is to be conscious of where our hands been. He said, be aware of your hands. Because it's from transmission from the hands, and then you put it on your face. It's when you transmit it into your body. So be conscious of your hands. So as we have hand sanitizer as you come in the door or when you leave back out or as I go in and out, when I go in and out of my car, even though I got gloves on, I still sanitize. And I try to be conscious to keep my hands out of my face. Hello, 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 hello. Be conscious. Same way with our bodies. Are we conscious of where we're going? Are we conscious about the things we're about to do? Are we conscious about the places that we go? Are we conscious about what we hear and listen to? Are we conscious? That's what consecration comes in. I'm conscious about what I'm doing for God. The New Living Translation states it like this. When you think of what God, God has done for you, is this too much to ask? That you consecrate yourself back to him? Is it too much knowing that God woke you up this morning, started you on your way, that God picked you up, that God put food on your table, that God has given you, maintained you, that God even during this corona have saved you and kept you, that some of us have kept our jobs even though we're working from home, some of us still got income coming in even though we're doing something a little different than what we've done before, somehow, some way, God is still sustaining us. So in lieu of all of this, why shouldn't I give God my life back to him? God's been doing all of this. Then I can't sacrifice my life back to him? So it is up to us to understand that we are to give our bodies and our lives back to God. Amen? Amen? And so we have to understand that this is the act of consecration. It is a voluntary act. Hello. It's a voluntary act. Hello. You do it. God ain't going to make you do it. Can I get a witness? It's a voluntary act for you to present. This is what we do when we give a present to someone. We don't give someone a present because we are forced to give it, but because we want to give it. Hello, hello. You're not going to give a gift to somebody you don't really like. Can I get a witness? Even if you've been invited to the party, you're going to come with that dry card. Nothing in it. You ain't going to do it because you want to. Hello, hello. And so when you present yourself to God, you're doing it voluntarily. You coming to the altar. You I don't care today is consecration Sunday. If you really don't want to do it, don't do it. God ain't going to make you do it. He ain't going to make you bend your knees. He ain't going to make you praise him. He ain't going to make you worship him. He ain't going to make you serve him. This is a voluntary thing. And if you can't realize how good God been to you and that you owe him a praise. You owe him thanksgiving. You owe him lifting him up. You owe him everything you got. And if you can't recognize how good God has been to you, then you don't know nothing. Bible said if we can't see what God is doing. Huh? Bible said if we can't see what God is doing. Huh? We stumble all over ourselves. Huh? But when we perceive, when we understand, when we start to know that we know that we know that we know, when we start to get it in our spirit that God's been that good to me. When I get it in my mind and in my heart and in my soul that it was nobody but God. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Mama didn't do it. Daddy didn't do it. Nobody did it. When I look to the hills, for with cometh my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And if God did all of this, I can't help but to give him praise. This theme becomes personal. It's an act of personal. It's a personal act because it's your body. I can't sacrifice your body for me. You got to take it personal. You got to sacrifice your body. You got to lay it down. This act is sacrificial. You got to get it. It's a living sacrifice. It's a holy sacrifice. You don't come to God any old kind of way. You don't just show up and show out and show who you. You don't start jerking your neck and your head at God. You don't start spewing evil to God. You don't come to God any old kind of way. You come as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You don't let folks act a fool in your house. They come in your house acting all kind of crazy. You're going to escort them out the door. The Old Testament and the Jewish, they believe when they presented an animal sacrifice to the Lord. But as Christian believers, instead of giving something outside of ourselves, we are to offer our own bodies to God as a living, holy, can we bring holy back? Acceptable sacrifice, a living, can I get a witness? A living sacrifice, can I get another witness? A living sacrifice. The problem with living sacrifice is that they can choose to crawl off the altar. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? That's what's wrong with living sacrifices. Living sacrifices, they can choose. You got a choice. You can choose to pull yourself down off the altar. Can I get a witness? Romans 12, verse 1 from the Message Bible. I like how the Message Bible is putting it right now. It says this. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an altar offering. That's how you do it. Everything you got, even when you sleep, give your sleep to God. Some of us know we got some restless nights, tossing and turning about the trouble going on in the world. You better learn how to turn that sleep over to Jesus so he can give you sweet peace. Can I get a witness? That he'll give you sweet peace. Amen. Holy. Meaning to be set apart. Can I get a witness? Set apart, separated, sanctified. In other words, I'm giving my life to Christ, and there's certain things I will do, and there's certain things I will not do in my life because I'm turning it over to God. 2 Corinthians 6:17 out of the Message Bible says this. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. God wants you for himself. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. Some of us know we got some friends. That ain't good for us. Some of us know we're tied up in some situations that are not good for us. And so the Bible tells us to leave that mess alone and leave it for good, because the God we serve wants us all to himself. Can I go to Isaiah 1:16-20? Check this out. Wash your hands. The Bible don't say cleanliness is next to godliness, but it do say wash your hands. There it is right there. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do. Hold on. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cases. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse to and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Can I go back just a little bit where he says here? Cease to do evil. But he said, learn to do good. I can do evil by myself. You ain't even got to teach me how to do. I can just do evil. Amen. Cease to do. Stop that mess you doing, which is of your flesh, which comes natural to you. Amen. But then he says, learn. I got to put some effort into doing good. I got to learn. That's a process to do good. Amen. I got to read his word and let his word help me and teach me how to do good. Amen. I got to learn because I can do evil. I can cuss you out in a minute. But to be good to you, that's different. To be good to you, I got to learn. I need the help of the Holy Spirit to be good. Because the Bible says, ain't no good thing in man. Ain't nothing good in this. Hello. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can learn to be good. I can learn to give of myself. I can learn to help somebody else. I can learn to give of myself. I can learn these things, so it is not impossible. And when you see people with that mean mug on their face all the time, they can't be converted. They can learn to be good. Start praying for them that God would take that stony heart out and give them a heart of love. The Bible said for us to be acceptable. That's God's ideal of holiness, not yours. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice, which is our reasonable, rational, intelligent, logical service. What? What? That doesn't make sense to the natural. The natural, I want to do opposite of what God has called me to do. Amen. I don't want to do what God has called me to do. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When you're talking about spiritual things to some folks and they looking at you sideways crazy, and it just go right over their head what you talking about. I see you, Brother Percy. And it just go. And you looking back at them, don't you? Do you speak English? Do I need to come in and speak? Do I need to speak in tongues for you to understand what I'm saying? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Do you know the man? Has he done anything for you? Wait a minute. The question is, have you realized what God has done for you? Maybe it's a realization thing because you haven't realized the goodness of God in your life yet. Somebody in the natural can't receive what God is doing in the spiritual. So quit wasting your time trying to explain something spiritual to somebody who's stuck in their natural. People say, I can't conform to that. You know what? That's exactly right. I can't conform to that. I can't conform to it. That's exactly, you can't. In fact, no one can, because conforming is not God's process. It's the world's process to conform. God's process is transforming. Can I get a witness in the building? That's how God gets what he wants. When you have transformed, not conformed. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world. The word conform in this verse means to hold one thing, to mold one thing into shape. Hello, somebody. Hello. Of another thing. It refers to things that are temporary and unstable. This word could not be used of inward change, merely just outward change. Romans 12:2 tell us, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In Romans 12:2 in the New Bible here, it says, do not model your behavior on the contemporary world. So don't conform. But it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform in this verse means to undergo a complete change or metamorphosis. It refers to a process of the spirit that results in permanent change to the character and conduct of the person. This world is not used of mere outward changes, but of real inward changes that shows itself on the outside. Look at a butterfly. First it's a caterpillar, just crawling along. And in due time and in due season, latches itself to a tree and start to wove a cocoon. But while in the cocoon, the caterpillar starts to transform into something more beautiful than what it was. It starts to change the way it looks. Starts to change the things it do. Starts to change the way it travels. And so at the right time and at the right season, when he pops out of the cocoon, he is a beautiful butterfly. He no longer crawls, but now he flies. He's no longer just that ugly little color he once was, but yet he can spread the beautiful wings that he has. That's transformation. When God is calling us in these days and times, he wants to transform us, not to conform us. Hello, somebody. Hello. Be changed. Within by a new way of thinking. Hello. Listen, the Message Bible said you'll be changed from the inside out. Hezekiah Walker sings a song. Won't he make you clean? Inside. Won't he make you clean? Deep down inside. Because if I'm clean on the inside, it's going to start to show on the outside. Can I get a witness? So what has to happen during this transformation? What has to happen? Colossians 3, 5 through 15. We're going to get ready to go home. Put to death. Put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I love the word. He just don't leave you. He don't leave you hanging. But he's really going to explain what he's talking about. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Well, what's my earthly nature? Well, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, what things? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. But I love how God used to help us and encourage us and give us hope. Because in verse 7 he said, you used to walk. Straight on. You used to walk. Can I get a witness? You used to walk in these ways. In what kind of ways? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, do I have any but now people in the house? But now, yeah, that's what I used to do. That's what I used to behave. Those are the ways I used to act. But now, can I get a witness? But now, you must rid yourself. In other words, don't be sitting here like you ain't had that stuff. Don't be sitting here like that ain't in you. Don't be sitting here like you ain't had none of this stuff in your life. Don't be sitting here like you never experienced sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Don't sit at home on your couch, laying across your bed, holding your nose up all high, like you ain't never been in trouble, like you ain't never sinned in your life before. The Bible talking about you too. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. And then God breaks it down a little bit further. In case you didn't understand sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, he's going to break it down. Get rid of this stuff too. Anger. Rage, let me keep it simple for you. Malice, when you're trying to get at somebody. Slander, when you call them everything but a child of God. And filthy language from your lips. You ain't gotta be a cusser. No, let me keep going. God said, let me make it real plain. Stop lying to each other. Stop it. Tell somebody, stop it. Stop it. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here, where is here? Where is here? Here is in the knowledge and the image of our creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, centurion, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Quit looking at each other sideways. We all children of God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. You're going to consecrate yourself. This is what you need to clothe yourself with. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear, Lord Jesus, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, after you done did all this other stuff, after you done bared with each other, after you have shown kindness and long-suffering and patience, after you have done all of these things, put on love, which bind them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. You need to just thank God you're alive. You got enough working out your own soul salvation. Can I get a witness in the house? Listen, the world can't transform you. It can only conform you. Can I get a witness? That's why the world is full of self-proclaimed individuals that are identical in the way they think, act, and so afraid to be the least bit different than everybody else. But I'm having you today be a peculiar person. Be different. Because God created you different. Be different because you don't have to be on the world's standard. Can I get a witness? But by the same token, you can't belong to the church just by being conformed. You have to be transformed. It's not enough just to adapt to the customs, the worship style, the activity, the dress code of the church. That's just conforming. Everybody, we asked you to wear white. You wore your white. That's conforming. Amen. I want to know how you've been transformed. Huh? You can wear white all you want. But I want to know what's going on the inside. When you start taking this white off, what's on the inside? I want to know what's going on in the heart. You can fool me with your white on today. You're looking pretty in your white. But what's going on the inside? Wearing your white, you're just conforming. Ain't no power in the white. Tell somebody, ain't no power in the white. You can come in a white devil and leave a white devil. I mean, wearing white. I mean, as a person. Amen. You can come in your white. As a devil, you can leave in your white. Still a devil. Full of all that other stuff we talked about. White don't make you holy. Makes you conforming to what we ask you to do. Unless you're transformed, we will never understand the Christian life. We will never understand worship, prayer, giving, forgiveness, holiness, or a thousand other things that God wants to teach us. We hear people say, I don't like it when they insist that everybody worship. I don't like it when they say we should all pray. I don't like it when they tell me to give. That's why I don't go to some church. They ask for too much money. I don't like it when the church demand a lifestyle commitment that I try to live holy. I don't like it. I don't like it when they try to tell me to stay out the bars and dropping it like it hot. I don't like it when they try to tell me to stay off drugs and quit drinking. I don't like it when they tell me to stop abusing my wife. I don't like it. I can't conform to that. That's right. You can't. Because you haven't been transformed by the power of God. You haven't been transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how does God transform us? By the renewing of your mind. By changing the way you think. And only you can allow this. We call it repentance. God ain't going to force you to change. Hello, somebody. God ain't going to force you to change. He ain't going to force you to change. He wants you to come and confess and repent. Can I get a witness? You got to be willing to do it. Amen. To change your life, you must change the way you think. Can I get a witness? Behind everything you do is a thought. Every behavior is motivated by a belief. And every action is prompted by an attitude. Repentance goes even farther. Repentance goes even farther. You repent whenever you change the way you think by adopting how God thinks. In other words, you start saying, God, you right and I'm wrong. Hello, hello, hello. God, you right, I'm wrong. God, everything I think is messed up, jacked up, tore up from the floor up. But God, you write in everything that you say and do. That and that alone is repentance. It involved the will much more than the emotion. Quit taking your emotions to God. God don't care about your emotion. God want to know what's going on in your heart. Because we cry to God all day long and we still go back out and sin. Lord, if you get me out this time, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I ain't going to do it no more. Lord, forgive me, God, in the name of Jesus, good God Almighty. And then we find ourselves right back there. Lord, I'm sorry I did it again. Lord, I won't do it no more. Lord, please help me in the name of no. Until there's been a transformation in the heart. And you stand up against the devil and say, you can't trick me this time. I'm not going down that road. You ain't got me this time. I'm going a different way. I'm looking for a way of escape. God said, you'll tempt me, but I don't have to fall to your temptation. Devil, you got to keep it moving. Keep on stepping, because the buttons you used to push ain't there no more. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. As a man thinketh, so is he. Ephesians 4:23. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitude in order for you to be holy for God. Philippians 2:5. Think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. In other words, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's two parts of having the mind of Christ. Can I talk about it real quick? Number one, stop thinking immature or selfish. Huh? Stop thinking about just you all the time. The world don't revolve around you. Hello. The world belongs to God, not you. Corinthians 14:20. Stop thinking like children. In regards to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. Can you grow up? Can you be mature in the way that you think? Romans 8:5. Those who live following their sinful selves think only about the things that their sinful selves want. You're thinking about sinning. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to sin. You're thinking about drinking. What you going to do? You're going to drink. You're thinking about smoking a joint. I'm just going to go to the club because my friend's going to. No, you want to go to the club. But guess what? The club is shut down right now. So you got to stay in your house. Amen. God took away all them idols, didn't he? Can't go to the club. Can't go to the bar. Can't go to the dance studio. Hello. God shut it all down. No more sports figures. Amen. They all gone. Amen. I wonder will this thing last through the football season. We might have more brothers in church. Football on Sunday. Pastor, you know you won't see me between football season. Because, you know, I just got... Well, maybe we'll see what happens. Football might not be this season. Amen. We'll see what happens. But God has stripped away all those things we used to run to. All those devices that can keep us out of his presence. All those things that can occupy our minds. All those things that was taking the place of God. All those things that God been trying to whisper in our ear to hear. But we was too fast and too furious. We was doing things our own way. We was going so fast we didn't have time to hear because of the noise of the world. But God shut up all of it. He shut the world down. He shut all you got is quiet time. in your house. The only people driving you crazy is folks you spawned from your loins. It's people that you birthed out of your belly. The only ones getting on your nerve right now is the folks you said I do to. The only ones getting... Hallelujah. God done put you in position. You got to deal with yourself. You got to deal with your spouse. You got to deal with your children. You got to deal with it all. God took some of us and stripped that job away too. Took it. Now you got to deal with God. Now you got to think about your life. Now you got to think about your position. Now you got to think about where you at. Now you got to think about what you're going to do. What a great day to be consecrated. Just to give, clean it all up and give it back to the Lord. How do you do that? Y'all mess me up. Sit down. Listen, here. Number two. The first one was stop thinking immature. Well, if stop thinking immature was number one, what you think number two is? Start thinking mature. Selfless thoughts. Let's just go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 from the Message Bible. Because this is going to sum it up for you. Love never gives up. Because some of us feel like throwing in the towel. Some of us done got to the point where I can't take it no more. Some of us have gotten to the point where we feel that, you know what? It ain't worth it no more. Hello. But love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Can I get a witness? Huh? Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swell head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't reveal when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. Puts up with anything. Trust God always. Always look for the best. Never looks back. But keeps going to the end. Can I get a witness? Paul put it this way. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. Hello. I reasoned as a child. When I became a man. I put childish ways behind me. Can I get a witness? Our spiritual growth process. What do God want? What God want is you. All of you. Thank you. What God want is you. All of you. Can I have a witness? Look at somebody and tell them God wants you. All of you. Before we can go and work for God, God needs to work in us. Even though we're saved, we all have to admit that he still has much work to do in us to transform our thoughts, our feelings, our decision, our inner disposition, our whole being into the image of his son. God is surely all powerful. But in his relationship with us, he is not a dictator. He respects our human will and doesn't force his work on us. He wants us and needs our consent in order to work freely in us. Since God will only work in us if we allow him to do so, this explains how a person can genuinely be saved for years and yet have little or no growth in their divine life. Little or no real change in their being. God will wait until we give him permission to work himself into us for his purpose. God will not take over until you let him in. Amen. So instead, at this time in my life, instead of letting our time slip away or resisting his work in us, we can pray to him, Lord, I give you permission to work in me. I offer myself willingly to you, Lord. I open the door of my heart to you, Lord. Come into each room of my heart, even that closet where I stuff all the junk at, and clean me out and help me to transform to the person you called me to be. God has called us to a life of consecration, church. Do you need to be an overcomer? Do you need to be blessed? Do you need your name changed? Do you want to enjoy being in the presence of God? Then we need to consecrate ourselves today. I need everybody to stand up over the building. And just lift up holy hands. As we pray this prayer of dedication, consecration, and submission, just listen to the words. And if that's you, just say in your spirit, Lord, I agree. Lord, I agree. Father, we pray the power and the prayer of dedication, consecration, and submission in every area of our life. We belong to you, Father. We'll go where you want us to go. We'll do what you want us to do. Not our will, Lord, but your will be done. We thank you, Father, that you work in both to our will and to do of your good pleasure. You have a good plan for our lives, a plan of peace and prosperity and joy. Father God, what you want and what you desire is what I want. That is what I desire. Not my will, but your will for my life every day. Father, not my own, not the way of the flesh, but the way of the spirit. Father, your will, your plan, and your way. I dedicate my life to you in every area. You have a plan for me in every area of life. Thank you, Father, for the joy of obedience. I will obey you with joy. Father, I want to have a spirit of obedience in my life. Not rebellion or pride, not resistance or hard-heartedness, but a soft, sensitive heart that is willing to do your will. I rebuke rebellion and stubbornness in Jesus' name. Father, I say before your presence that I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. No matter what man say, no matter what the world say, you have found a willing person. You have found an obedient person. Father, I will do what you say all the way, just the way you said to do it. No more, no less, but with joy and thanksgiving. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of faith and the spirit of obedience. And Father, thank you that your will be faithful and fulfilled in my life. To you we give glory, honor, majesty, and power. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. Say amen again. Amen. Come on and give the Lord a praise in this place.